October, we dealt with fathers, good fathers, bad fathers, indifferent fathers, and we've seen how important a father is, and a mother is too.
Amen.
Sometimes we, in our marriage troubles, we may decide that the other one isn't needed. We can handle it. And that may be true to a certain extent for a certain amount of time. But ladies, when those kids, those boys turn teenagers, you're going to wish you had a man around.
Amen.
And fathers and mothers are both needed. And we need to remember to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Many children are not brought up that way, but that is a blessing. That is a blessing. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom today. Bless our revival meeting. Bless Brother Joe's voice. Help him to speak. And I pray, Lord, you'd give me a freedom and a wisdom and an ability and a blessing that only you can give. And bless your word today to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, when I first got married, Verlene and I, we were just two kids having fun. And we didn't even think about babies. Now, we didn't plan on those babies. All my babies surprised me. They might not have surprised Verlene, but all of them surprised me. And once the babies start coming, you got to think different. You absolutely have to think different. And where when I was young and carefree and a little hot spitfire, I could walk off a job any day if you just insulted me. After I had two or three kids to feed, I could take a lot of insults just to have the money coming in. You understand?
Amen.
There's a difference. There's just a difference when it depends on you for the rent, depends on you for the food, depends on you for a whole lot of things. You have to humble yourself down a little bit and quit being such a cocky so-and-so. All right? Now, I got saved after Eddie was born, just before he was a year old. And then Billy showed up a couple of months after that. So I ended up having two little boys that had more energy than Carter's got liver pills. Well, they were a handful. Still are, by the way. But we decided to look, see if the Bible could give us some answers. Because I was raised as a Bible believer. Not that I knew much about it. I knew some stories that were told me by my grandmother and my parents and Sunday school and whatever. I knew some verses that I memorized in Sunday school classes and catechism classes or whatever, stuff like that. But as far as just reading the Bible, I never read it. I began to read it when I got saved. Wow. And I thought, boy, it's a confusing book in a lot of places, but other places it's so clear, so astounding, that I should have read it a long time before. And Verlene, she was a Christian before I was, but she had not grown much. And though she was a fine young lady, she didn't know an awful lot about her Bible either. Pardon me. That's not supposed to happen. So she started reading her Bible. And we decided to find out what the Bible said about raising kids. Now, I've talked to you about fathers and mothers and building a home that's got more than selfishness in it, where you're thinking about the other person and you're also thinking about the children you're going to raise and what it's going to do to them with what you do. If you are unstable, your children will notice it.
Amen.
They will. The kids are the greatest psychologists in the world. Not these guys that got PhD and hanging behind their name. Kids. They know how to cry when you first say spanking. You haven't hit them yet. You haven't pinched them. You haven't yanked them up. You haven't done anything to them. And they're going, "Aah!" They're psychologists. They're trying to ease up on the spanking. They're smart. They know they can get to you. Crying does a lot for a lot of people. Some people simply can't stand it. My kids didn't have a good time with me because crying don't bother me. Just go ahead and cry. That's what you want to do. But what we did was we went to the book of Proverbs. And you might do wise to read a chapter of the book of Proverbs every day of your life. There is so much wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Now, again, you have to take everything with wisdom and moderation. Anything can be done too much of. You can overlove a kid. You can overspank a kid. You can expect too much responsibility of a kid.
Amen.
You can expect too little. Anything can be overdone or underdone. And that's the way human beings are. And I'm generally trying to walk the tightrope back and forth between one side or the other. But the book of Proverbs has some very important statements. You ought to mark these in your Bible. If you're a new parent or a newlywed, you ought to really mark them in your Bible. And work on those kids. Now let's start with Proverbs 19:18. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, and I want you to look at the verse as I'm talking to you about it. I'm going to give you some... The book of Proverbs is a bunch of wisdom statements of the ages. Now understand me, anything the Bible approves of, the world, Hollywood, modern liberal people hate.
Amen.
I believe homosexuality is a sin. Why? Because God says so.
Amen.
I am a Bible believer. That's what my profession is. I am a Bible reader. I'm a Bible student. I'm a Bible believer. And I preach the Bible. Now, the world is saying, our own mayor, I was real disgusted this last week when I heard a statement or two from him about it. But homosexuality is a sin. Why? God says so.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's my only basis for sin.
Amen.
Sin is not what I think is inconvenient or I think might be wrong. No. Sin is what God says it is. God's the judge.
Amen.
And God set the pattern.
Amen.
Because they've forgotten God. They pushed God out of the thing so they can say, well, God says it, that don't make it true. But it is true.
Amen.
Now, the same way with raising children. All of these I'm going to read to you, going to talk about the rod, or a paddle, a spanking. Now that was good enough for about 6,000 years of human history. But lately, since World War II, modern times and people, man, when I went to school, my first grade teacher just beat the daylights out of my knuckles for pinching a little girl next to me. Oh, man, she stung them with that little 12-inch ruler. And then when I got on up into high school, they didn't call my daddy and ask him for permission. Old Mr. Gott at the time was vice principal of the high school. He took you down in the boiler room and let you grab a big pipe and bend over, and he beat the daylights out of you trying to rearrange your system. It didn't hurt me. It didn't do me any bad. Now, I mean, I admit sometimes it's been abused. But today we're at a point where a person cannot even defend himself. Your child cannot defend himself in school without being kicked out, whether he started anything or not. That's pitiful. They're afraid of lawsuits. The lawyers and the lawsuits have taken over. And what God says here is you need to spank your children. Now, again, moderation. I don't think you ought to ever hit them over two or three times at a time. I don't think you ought to ever hit your children when you're angry.
Amen.
You need to cool down and say, in a couple of hours, you're going to pay for this.
Amen.
That hurts them worse than the spanking sometimes. But at any rate, you need to use moderation. You need to use common sense. And I've done everything wrong once or twice in my life. And but it says right here, look at Proverbs 19:18. Let's read it. Chasten thy son while there's hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. I was a pastor. I was an evangelist, actually. And I was in a pastor's home. And they had a little brat. Bless his heart. He did not know the meaning of the word no. And his mother told him she was going to spank him. 15 or 20 times right in the room with me, and I'm sitting there praying, do it, do it, do it. You know what you have to do for kids to believe your discipline? You have to keep your word.
Amen.
Don't tell them all these horrible things you're going to do to them when you're not going to do any of them. Quit making promises. Keep a few. Keep a few. If you tell them they're going to get spanked for a certain thing, then spank them. Now, again, my mother and daddy, they believed in spanking. The schools believed in spanking in my day. In fact, almost any adult around, uncles, aunts, cousins, whatever, they're liable to spank you. And my mother, she would tell me when I was up, I think I received my last spanking at about 12. They worked on other things after that. But I was a pretty big old boy, and my mother would say, lay over that bed and put your hands out front, and she'd whoop me with my daddy's leather strop. He had a straight razor, and he had a wide leather belt with the other side was some sort of a woven fabric for them to work the razors, you know. Oh, that sounded terrible. It sounded a whole lot worse than what it really was. But I would not have thought of getting up and saying, you can't spank me. No, no. My mother spanked. My daddy spanked. My sister would come home and slap me. They were all older than me, you know, and I was a little idiot. Chasten thy son. Chasten thy son. Let me tell you what. If a spanking doesn't hurt, if a punishment does not hurt, it is worthless. Does no good.
Amen.
You got to figure out how to hurt them. They need to be hurt. You know, pain is a very beautiful thing. It's a gift.
Amen.
Now, my wife's not thinking so much now lately, the last couple of 3 years, because hers has just been out of line. But pain tells you when something's wrong. And pain makes you change your habit. They say that every generation has to learn that the stove is hot. You can tell them, don't touch that, don't touch that, don't touch that. And they say, ah! Why didn't you tell me? I told you, dummy. Let's look at this. Chasten thy son. Chasten thy son. To be a good parent, you have to do some chastening. You cannot be a good parent if all you do is brag on them. Give them everything they want and brag on them. You're creating a monster.
Amen.
Because, well, just for example, I've got a blue heeler dog. He's just strong as can be and quick as he can be. And I love him. I just love him. He barks too much, but I don't know how to stop that. I haven't figured that out yet. But he is one selfish dog. I got a little bitty cat. She's a real delicate little cat. Scaredy and everything like that. Well, I got two skillets. And I'll go out there and I'll put just a little bit for the cat because she eats slow and doesn't eat hardly anything. And I'll dump this other whole bowl over here in the dog's. And that dog, he will gobble everything up in his and go for hers. Sometimes he'll go for hers first. He's got a whole skillet and she's got this little bit right here. They're selfish. You're selfish.
Amen.
One of the biggest problems you have in life is working on your own selfishness. In your marriage. You mess up your marriage by your own selfishness.
Amen.
Now your kids, they're born that way. They're not worried about any other kid. They're not worried about your happiness. They want their milk when they want it. They want their diaper changed when they want it. They want to be touched when they want it. They want to be lifted when they want it. And your whole job as a parent is to train that selfishness out of them to a point where they can live with other people. Isn't that right? That's your whole job. He said, chasten thy son. He says, let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now, a lot of you are real tender-hearted. Now, I'm thankful for tender-hearted people. Wouldn't the world be in a terrible place if we didn't have some tender hearts? I'm thankful for tender-hearted people, but don't let your soul spare for his crime. Too many times a mother, pardon me, or a father will let the crying stop the punishment or hinder it, or where it doesn't even get done or done less than is effective. Now, there's a word here, a phrase here, while there is hope. You know, there comes a place when there's no hope. Oh, yeah. Some of you, your kids are already, they're who they are. They're going to do what they're going to do, and they're going to do what they've done. And there's no hope for you to go spank them now. There's no hope for you to go correct them now. In fact, they don't even like you talking to them about half the time. I'm strong-willed and a lot of other things. And it sure is hard when you've been telling a kid for 18 years what to do to stop. And my boy, Eddie, got married and went to Germany, come back. And I was doing my best not to tell him anything because I knew he would resent it. And I went out one day and he said, Daddy, you haven't told me anything. You haven't given me any advice in 6 months. I said, that's right, son. He said, thank you. And then he said, would you let me know what you think about this? He actually asked me for something. While there's hope. You got a time of hope from the time that baby's born and gets about 4, 5, 6 months old until they're about 12 or 13, maybe 9 or 10. Amen. That's your opportunity.
Right. Amen.
You're bigger than the kid. That's why God made you bigger than the kid. You ever figure that out? So you can push him around a little bit. So he can't push you around. You're bigger than the kid. You can force your will upon the kid. You can make him go to bed by picking him up and sticking him in the bed. And if he wants to get up, you can lay on him till he can't get up. Now, I'm trying to be a little bit funny, but the truth of the matter is, that's the truth. You're big enough to force your will upon that kid. Now, the first thing you ought to teach that child, the absolute first thing, is the word no.
Amen.
N-O. And when you say no, he stops. Immediately. He doesn't decide, well, I don't know whether I'll have to do that or not. You'll save his life. Your kid will be running out in the front yard and he's ready to run right out in the street and a truck coming down the road and you say no and he doesn't even pay attention to you. Bam. A kid needs to learn the word no. He needs to know that you, when you say no, mean it. No is such a valuable thing all through life. Now I've got that dog. He's not well trained. He's pretty good. I mean, he'll sit for me. He'll stay. He'll come. And he knows the word no. He's doing something I don't want him to do. I just say, no. And he looks at me and stops. Wouldn't it be nice if your kid did that?
Yep.
Listen, that is a safety measure. That is one of the things your kid needs to know. Mama or daddy can stop me with just the word no. Now, while there is hope. While there is hope. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some real bad kids come out of real good families. And there's some real good kids that have come out of really bad families. But that's not the average. That's not the percentage. There used to be a man that was a funeral director here in San Antonio. I actually knew him. He was much older than me. But now, lose his name. He said, church-going children seldom make delinquents. He didn't say never. Seldom. There's a difference. You're working to give your kid the best chance he can to make right decisions. So while there is hope, you get no... And say, some kids are stubborn. Some kids are stubborn. I was one of them. It took a lot of extra work for my poor dear parents. I guess I suffered a whole lot because of what I made them suffer. My kids are all stubborn. Come to think of it, my wife is stubborn. Must be all her fault.
That's not fair,
Linda. You see, my kids did not stand a chance. They got me being a very stubborn, hard-headed man, and my wife is stubborn. And she had to be the disciplinarian a whole lot of the time because I was gone a lot of the time preaching, working. While there is hope, what do? You use that opportunity. You have an opportunity to train your child in the right way. Now, don't let his soul spare for his crying. If he deserves a spanking, give it to him. And make it hurt. I don't mean beat your kid up. I don't mean leave a bunch of stripes or strings. In fact, a paddle is the best thing for that because it's not going to bruise that much. And it's not going to leave stinging stripes and so on and so forth. And it scares the daylights out of them. You just tell them, go get your paddle and bring it back for your spanking. Hey, get some obedience out of your kids. They need to obey you. They don't need to boss you.
Amen.
Kids boss their parents all the time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's pitiful.
Amen.
So, I think this is a tremendous verse. Chasing thy son while there's hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. You go ahead and give him what he deserves to get. And I like I said, in moderation. Not an extremism. You don't want to beat your kid to up. You don't want to bruise him or her. But bless your heart, they need to know that a spanking's going to hurt. And they need to know they're going to get it if mama just says the word. You're in the grocery store and the kid's acting out and say, you're going to get it when you get home. Don't forget. You keep your word. One of the biggest things I think is valuable is you learn to keep your word. If you give your word, live by your word. Now, maybe you give your word wrong sometimes. Well, then you can apologize and ask for forgiveness like anybody else. And I have asked forgiveness for my own children many times because I acted foolishly. Me act foolishly? Yes, and you do too. And when you're frustrated or a little bit angry, you can act very foolish. You can say some of the stupidest things. You would think, how can I be so stupid?
Amen.
Have you ever thought about that?
Yes, sir.
I do. Anyway, Proverbs here, this is gathered wisdom of the ages. Chasing thy son while there is hope. You take that opportunity and don't miss it because you will miss it forever. You just don't get the chance to do it over again. And they're not going to be as pliable when they're 15, 16, 17, 21, 31, 41. They're not. You lost it. While there's hope, you use it to chasten your son. Now, why are you chastening your son? To bring about a kind of behavior. Now, at my house, my dad was dad, my mom was mom. I didn't say sir to them at all. They didn't demand it. They didn't expect it. I got all my sirring from the military. They taught me right quick in a few weeks, I said sir to everybody that looked green. I guarantee you. And I say sir to everybody. I say sir to waiters. I say sir to lawn men. You know, I say sir to everybody. But I was not raised that way. But if you want your children, I've known children raised that way. If you want your children raised that way, train them.
Amen.
Train them. You make the decision of what kind of behavior you want out of your children, and then you make a concerted push for it, just like you were Napoleon Bonaparte trying to win a battle. Or Robert E. Lee trying to win a battle. Look at Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. Here's another one of these bits of wisdom that Solomon collected for us 3,000 years ago. Now then, Hollywood and all the psychologists and all the schools, they know better. They are not better. And the results we can see right now.
Amen.
The results are all around us.
Amen.
Oh, by the way, on that no, you're the only one who gets to say no. The child doesn't get to tell you no.
Amen.
When your little baby's telling you no, that's another time for a good spanking.
Right.
You're not the boss, I am. Okay. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. When I was first preaching and believing the Bible, I took this almost as a promise. That if I trained my children right, they would never do anything wrong. Well, that's not true. God's son, Adam, disobeyed him. You can look at some of the greatest men in the Bible, and their sons were pitiful. They were great men. They might not have been great fathers. But train up a child. Train up a child. I've had some people get upset at that language, train. Train my children like training a dog and training a horse. Yes. Same thing. Same principles. Now, any good teacher in here will probably tell you, at least I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to repeat it 30 times for them to get it. I'm even talking about honor students. I'm talking about honor students, not just gang thugs. I taught 20-something years in the inner city. I had lots of gang members. I had some tough kids. They had hard life. And they were tough in the classroom. My personal formula was, number one, I'm going to control this room. Number one, I'm going to control. Number two, we're going to learn some history, English. Number three, we're going to have some fun. We may never get to number three and number two. We're going to get to number one. And you better get that way about your family. Number one, you're going to control your kids. I've had kids come into my house, three or four of them at the time, and they crawl all over me, crawl all over the furniture, crawl all over the piano, crawl all over the table, and nobody can stop them. Well, they're not trained right. And you ought to be embarrassed if that's your kids.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It says, train up a child in the way he should go. The way you want him to answer you. The way you want him to respect others. The way you want him to play with his siblings. The way he eats. Train up a child. You train them. Now, let me tell you what it takes to train a dog. You got to be smarter than the dog. And you got to spend some time. You got to spend some time. And you can train a dog to do wonderful things. I'm amazed at what dogs can do. Let me tell you what. Train up a child, it takes some time. You have to spend some time. You have to be working on that training. You have to know what training you want to get across. You have to have a plan. You have to know what's acceptable to you, and the kid needs to know what's acceptable to you. It's not fair for you to be the big bully and you're not clear on where the lines are drawn. just not fair. The kid never knows when he's going to do right or wrong. You're going to make a schizophrenic out of him. He won't know what to do. Draw some good lines, not too many of them. Make them clear and stick by them. And by the way, that means husband and wife need to be together. You need to have some talks. And boy, those are going to be fun to listen to. On what you think and what she thinks. What she thinks and what her husband thinks. But you got to come together. One of the problems with divorced families having children going back and forth between them is they learn to work one against the other. That's just normal. They're selfish. They want their way. And so they're going to use that. Well, I've seen it in the same home when they're living together and love each other. But they got a difference. They know, I can get it out of mom. I know if I go to daddy, he'll say no, but I can go get it out of mom or whatever. You need to come together. You need to come together with a training program. What is it you want out of that child? What are you trying to do? Train up a child in the way he should go. You got enough sense to know that, don't you? Don't you have enough common sense to know what you want your child to act like around other children, around other adults?
Thank you, Lord.
Pardon me. In church, in a building? You ought to know that. And you ought to agree on it. And don't get it so big. Don't get it so big. Simple rules. God only gave 10 commandments. What are you doing making up 25? God could work it out with 10. Hey, I've never completed them, have you? Every time I look at them, it says, sinner!
Amen.
Failure! When he's old, he will not depart from it. Most of the people are going to be just like their parents. I know they don't want to hear that because they don't think it's so. But you look at it from the outside. They're going to be like their parents. They're going to be like their heritage. You hear my voice. My accents, my wording, my phraseology. I've got a master's degree. Bachelor's and a master's after the military. But I'm a hick. You know why? Because my mother and daddy were hicks. They were farm people. My parents never felt comfortable in the city. They never went back to the farm. They still kept the farm. But that's the way they were raised. And how many things I'm like them? Why? A number. And you're a whole lot like whoever raised you. You're going to be. When he's old, he won't depart from it. They'll still be thinking the same way. And so, take the time to train up a child. To train your child. Your children, however many you got. Now, I will readily confess, the reason why this dog is not trained better is because I have not spent the time. I spent enough time to get certain things done, and I've got them. If you know how to train a dog not to bark at night, you can teach me a whole lot. I'd be glad to understand that. A good dog every other way, but he just does. And intense, man. Well, with your kid, it's going to take time. You say, well, I didn't know being a mother was going to be so restrictive. No, you probably didn't. You were just having fun with your husband. And all of a sudden, these little things pop up. And you know what they do? They change your life. You don't get to do everything you used to think you had to do. You don't get to go out for all fun nights and other stuff like that. You have responsibilities, and you know it. And sometimes you fight against it, but you can't do much about it. Not if you're a normal person. You know, some people kill their children. Some people just let them run the streets. But that's not you. That's not me. Children changed my life. And boy, there was a lot of times I did not want to discipline my children or I did not want to train them.
Amen.
But you have to.
Amen.
You don't have a choice. God laid that responsibility on you. You got to do the job or it doesn't get done. And don't think you can take them to grandma's house and get it done. Ain't no way. I'm a grandpa. I spoil them and give them back. I'm not responsible for their raising or their training. When they're old, they'll still be like that because that's the way they were trained. Now, look at Proverbs 22:15. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, first of all, some of you mothers is, oh, they're so sweet. That's just such a little angel. Oh, yeah, I know. That angel sure causes a lot of trouble. Foolishness? I've still got foolishness in me. Don't you? I have to just every once in a while think, why would that thought even come into my mind at 77 years old? Foolishness. Well, how about your children? The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. They are going to do the most stupid things you can think of. And you got to live with it. You got to live with it. If they hurt themselves, you live with it. They break their leg, you live with it. They put their eyes out, you live with it. Now, you as a parent have to know the difference between foolishness and good sense. Don't you? What do you want your child to be? Foolish or have good sense? Well, when you see foolishness, you point it out. And when foolishness keeps coming around, you spank the daylights out of it. It says the rod of correction will drive it far from him. You can take a foolish child, pardon me, and make him an intelligent child.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You can. It's what the Bible says. All of this takes work. Some of you are just too lazy. It takes work. It's like I really admit I'm too lazy to train that dog to what the potential he could have. He's a very smart dog. Very intense. And I sometimes kick myself. Well, I'll spend more time with that dog and train him more if he's smart. How about your children? How about your children? You need to take the time to drive foolishness out of their mind and their heart. Don't let them be stupid. And he says the rod of correction will drive it far from them. You spank them enough for some of their things that they do. And they'll say, you know, now I admit some of them are so stubborn, they're going to do it anyway because they've already calculated the pain they're going to have to get. And those take a little extra work. But it says a rod of correction will drive it far from them. You can knock a whole lot of foolishness out of a child by good training. Okay, look at Proverbs 23:13. Proverbs 23:13. Another one, good one. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, that does sound like a pretty serious verse, talking about death. Withhold not correction from the child. Sometimes you're too lazy to correct the child when it needs to be corrected. That's the truth. You say, I'm tired. I spent my day doing this. I don't want to do it. I've taking care of kids all day long. I just want to get off in the room by myself. That's not the answer. That's not the answer. This one doctor that did this last overhaul and put the new distributor in my heart.
Yeah.
It's pumping different. I went in one day and I was there at 5:30 in the morning and he didn't get to me till 5:30 in the afternoon.
Wow.
He had 2 4-hour emergencies in the day. He hadn't eaten lunch. I asked his little nurse, cute little old thing, just sweet as could be. She said, I haven't had lunch. I said, last time we don't get lunch. Why? He deals with the heart. Life and death. I wasn't hurting. I said, don't worry about me. I'm laying in a room watching television talking to Linda. And I wasn't in pain anywhere. No pain. Just bored. Sometimes it doesn't matter whether you've had the rest you think you need. Sometimes it doesn't matter how much you had to deal with during the day. You are needed to correct a child. And you can't afford to let it go. All of these things are ways children get messed up. They get messed up when they're not treated right, when people don't think that. Withhold, not correction, from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Boy, he shall not die? Yeah, I think some of these children that get killed driving 110 miles an hour on the expressway, driving a motorcycle 100 miles an hour in between cars, if they had a little better correction, they might have never got there. He said, he shall not die. Do you know something? Foolish things kill people. Kids get killed every year because they're foolish, because they have not been trained, because they have not been corrected. There are plenty of accidents, and I'm not talking about accidents. I'm talking about people being foolish. I've told the story many times, but one of the fellows used to come to this church. He was a good witness. And he went off and visited a friend in another town. And he had an 18-year-old son. And he was a little wild and had his motorcycle. And my friend got to witness to him. Talk to him about getting saved. Nah. I'm going to sow my wild oats. Get saved later. He rode out that night on his motorcycle and hit an 18-wheeler. Killed him. 18 years old. You can save your son from death sometimes by the right kind of instruction and correction. Some things you don't play with. Now, when I was young, I wasn't scared of cigarettes and I wasn't scared of liquor. I was scared of dope. I was offered dope when I was in high school. But I didn't want anything to do with dope. I was afraid of it. Didn't know what it would do to me. Well, there's nothing with the kids out here. They're high on everything. Artificial junk they can buy in the stores. Mama's prescriptions, daddy's prescriptions. Man, I wouldn't take the stuff I take if the doctors didn't tell me to, and I sometimes don't do it when they tell me to. Man, you want to put that in you for fun? I'm not having fun putting that stuff in me, I want you to know. He shall not die. Withhold not correction. You mean, if I don't correct my child, he might do something that would cost him his life? Yeah. That's exactly right. He just might do that. Look at Proverbs 23:14. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell.
Amen.
Wow. You mean if I get enough discipline in my child, he just might actually listen to the gospel. He just might actually listen to common sense. he might get heaven instead of hell? That's the truth. Look at Proverbs 29:15. Another good verse. You want to know how to get wisdom? The rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame.
Amen.
The rod and reproof. You need both of them.
Amen.
You need to talk to them. Talk to them. Talk to them. When my kids were teenagers, my daddy said, just keep talking to them. Don't ever quit talking to them.
Amen.
Keep talking to them. And that's what I did. Of course, my kids hate me talking to them. But I talked to them. The rod and reproof give wisdom. You need to reprove them, and you need the rod. And they need to get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You women, let me tell you what. You may think all the discipline has to be in the husband's hands or whatever. Let me tell you what. You're the ones that look shameful. When your kids won't obey you in a grocery store, won't obey you in somebody else's house, do not know the meaning of the word no, and do not have any respect for any adults around them.
Amen.
They bring their mother to shame. Look at verse 29:17. I'll close today with this one. Proverbs 29:17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. I do believe that's true. Like I said, there are examples of exceptions. There are plenty of exceptions out there. Probably plenty of exceptions inside this room right here. I've known some people that were very good parents, very well-trained children, and the children go bad. Do things that really hurt. But the majority of them don't. You're playing percentages here. When you're dealing with individuals, hey, we're all individual. We do our own thing. And we take responsibility for what we do. Correct thy son. I know you get tired of correcting them. You think all I do is correct them. All I do is talk to them, Dad. All I do. No. Correct thy son. What did he do? He'll give you rest. He shall give delight unto thy soul. I was in a trial, a murder trial, rape and murder. And the two guys they caught, one of them turned on the other one and got off without the death penalty. And the other one was being tried, and that was the one we were trying. His mother got up in the before the court and said how good a son he was, how great he was. Have mercy on him. He's a good boy. And right after she sat down, then the police record of how many times she had called the police to save her from her son. It was deadening. Just deadening. She's just lying. She probably wasn't a good mother in the first place, and he wasn't a good son. But boy, she'd called the police I don't know how many times to get him off of her. I don't believe he gave her much rest. I don't believe he gave her delight to her soul. Correct thy son, he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Proverbs is worth reading. If you don't understand it because of old things, you just keep reading. You pick up on it. It's wisdom that is worth your time today. Well, God bless you. Thank you for putting up with me.
God bless.